Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus. We are a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 56. Guys, what has big floppy ears, likes carrots, and has a heart of gold?
Me?
What? You?
You didn't even let me answer.
That's right, rabbits. And today on this very special episode, we have the Queen Cottontail herself joining us. I want to welcome Rabbit to the podcast.
Yay.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, that's probably the best intro I've ever had.
So. Dustin always tries really hard.
We are. Yeah, I spent just about 3.5 hours on that intro alone. But no, we do want to welcome you to the podcast. Rabbit, would you mind introducing yourself to our viewers?
Oh, sure. So, hi, everyone. My name is Rabbit. I have a crappy Let's Play channel on the internet like everyone else. And I am pretty passionate about retro video games. I would say it's my preference out of all the different kinds of games out there. And in terms of genre, I love RPGs in particular, hence the pick for this specific podcast. So
I feel like I could talk to you for a long time because I feel like we have some of the same... The three of us, I know you don't know us that well, but like the genre that I prefer and enjoy the most is RPG, and these other two guys, these scrubs, like other genres, but
hey,
I could
RPGs.
Sit and talk about RPGs for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty common ground for us. Dustin's probably the biggest fan, though.
With our last guest, we began a new practice in which we ask our guests a series of disconnected and altogether random rapid-fire questions. And so the task is for you to answer as quick and concise as you can. So are you down for trying that out?
Oh, yeah. I'm down for whatever, boys.
Can you refer to them as rabbit-fire questions instead?
Yes, this is a necessity.
I'll allow that one, Kenny.
You will, Nolan?
Yeah, I like that.
One pun per podcast.
Yeah, you're done, though.
All right, prepare yourself, Rabbit. Questions incoming.
Coming, I'm ready.
What television show are you currently watching?
Golden Girls.
Did you like Stranger Things?
I've never seen it.
Oh.
I know, guys.
Why not? Follow-up question, why not?
I actually don't have cable and I haven't in a long time and we don't even have Netflix or Hulu Plus right now. So
Fair enough. Yeah. What's your favorite book?
Oh gosh. I really like Jude the Obscure.
Obscure. What's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh gosh, I have a few. On the spot, I'd say Whimsicott.
Nice.
Who was your original starter, Charmander, Bulbasaur, or Squirtle?
Bulbasaur, the number one.
Did you know Darth Vader was Luke's father?
I did.
That's so dumb.
Did you know Bruce Willis was dead in The Sixth Sense?
I did not.
What's the...
Dude, you just ruined...
Thanks for the spoiler.
Wow. Why?
So many years later, that backfired so hard, Dustin.
What's the best movie out of the Marvel superhero franchise?
Oh my gosh. I actually haven't watched hardly any of them. I know that's so bad.
They're not good.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's fine. What video game did you first fall in love with?
Probably that I absolutely loved, Threads of Fate for the PlayStation 1.
What video game did you most recently fall in love with?
Undertale.
What's your favorite game to play on your phone?
I don't have any games on my phone.
Me neither.
What is one of your favorite uploads to your YouTube channel?
Probably my Guardians Crusade Let's Play.
What state do you live in?
Wisconsin.
What state did you live in?
Colorado.
How far from me are you living in Wisconsin? Because I live in Milwaukee.
I am in Madison, so holler.
That's crazy. Finally, are your glasses merely for fashion or are they for seeing better?
Both. I don't need them technically, but I like the way I look in them. So
wonderful. Well, congratulations, you made it through the rapid fire and with just a few spoilers. So Rabbit,
yeah,
we are
real big ones.
we're super excited to have you on the show, and out of all the retro video games in the world, you chose this week for us to play Super Mario RPG.
Yes.
And now it's time to talk about it.
Overview.
Super Mario RPG pretty much explains itself in the title. It has the subheading Legend of the Seven Stars. It is a Mario game that is in the RPG genre. It's a role-playing game. Okay, guys, listen to this sentence. It was developed by Square and published by Nintendo.
I feel like you couldn't get better than that
combination. I know.
What kind of game is this? That's a huge deal. Anyways.
And Square's next game, I believe this was the final game that Square and Nintendo worked together, and then Square broke off, and the next game that they produce is Final Fantasy VII. So, like what? And Nintendo. They should have stayed united forever.
I know. They were a beautiful couple.
Yeah, for sure. So the game came out in 96 in Japan and in North America with a few months gap in there. And it features classic RPG gameplay, turn-based fighting battles and overworld exploration. But it features lovable Mario characters. So I'm sure that several of our viewers have never heard of this game because it's not, I wouldn't say it's the most well-known or popular game. In fact, I didn't know about this game until later in life, like when I was about 20 years old. And so it's like one of those weird hidden gems. And the people that worked on this game have done some pretty huge things. So by Nintendo, you've got Shigeru Miyamoto, if you don't know who that is. He was responsible for Zelda, for Mario, for Donkey Kong, several franchises in the Nintendo realm, which is a huge deal. And then you've got people from Square that are working together to build this game. So it's a really, really big roster that went up against this game and making it a thing. So the story is as follows. You've got your typical Mario needs to save Princess Peach, but like its unusual genre, Bowser's not the main problem here. So it originally starts that way, but there's this guy named Smithy and his gang that come to the Mushroom Kingdom and destroy Star Road and scatter the pieces. And those are like the seven shards that you have to go get, hence the subtitle. So that's very similar to the crystals from the Final Fantasy franchise. You need to go get them. And you go to different worlds, I guess you could call them, different areas in the Mushroom Kingdom to recover these and get back and defeat Smithy. So very different Mario game. I mean,
very different.
Yeah, like if you're just comparing it to Mario alone, it's very different. It's so unique.
So Rabbit, why Super Mario RPG? Because I know in our early discussions you were contemplating Yoshi's Island and even first gen Pokemon, both of which are incredible games, but you chose to go with Super Mario RPG. What's your connection? What's your relationship with the game that caused you to select that one?
Well, there were two reasons, actually, why I went for Super Mario RPG. The first is that this year was actually its 20th anniversary as of March. Like you pointed out, it came out in North America on, I believe it was May 13th in 96. So, yes. You know, as of May. And then it was March 9th, I think, in Japan. So it's like, oh, great, 20th anniversary. This is a great time to actually talk about this game. And then the other reason is because I have such fond memories of my siblings and myself all gathered around our little television screen, just playing together. You know, my sister and I backseat gaming with my brother holding the controller. And my brother passed away a few years ago. So there are specific games that I have a stronger connection with as a result of remembering us playing them together more. And Super Mario RPG is one of those games. So the anniversary plus just the history that I have with it through my siblings, I just thought it would be a really great game to talk about.
I love that. I don't know if we've had a more appropriate selection on our podcast. That's great.
So do either of you guys, Nolan, Kenny, do you have any kind of nostalgic connection to Super Mario RPG? I know obviously not near as what Rabbit does, but do you have any kind of relationship with this game prior to this week?
So, like a lot of Super Nintendo titles, this one is not one I was familiar with when it came out. I've since known about it, like, by reputation, but never played it before this week. So, the Super Nintendo was a console that I, like, skipped in my sequence of things I owned. But one of my favorite consoles to go back and play on. They tend to have some really, really fun games, but nothing that specifically connects me with this game this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I actually didn't know about it, like I said, until way later when I was 20, I think, is when I learned about it in college and played it a little bit at that time. I did not finish the game. So I don't have any nostalgic thoughts or memories about this game.
And
unfortunately,
see, that's the exact same for me. I owned a Super Nintendo. I was playing video games. It came out in the prime of my, you know, video game years. And so I should have known about it and I should have played it, but it just skipped my radar entirely. And so I didn't even know about it until, you know, within the last 5-10 years. So we're missing that nostalgic, played it as a kid, playing it again connection, which when you've got that with some of these retro gamings, with some of these retro games, it completely helps shape and mold and inform our opinion and decisions that we make on said games.
Sure.
But in a sense, it's kind of good, right, when you think about it, to not have that lens or that goggle of nostalgia, because you can sort of assess the game more fairly, because it's kind of like, well, I don't really have a connection to it, so how does it stand up? Whereas someone who might feel more emotionally connected to it might love it more than it's actually, you know, deserving of. Sort of like, I think of... what is it? Sonic Adventure 2 and the Sonic Adventure games, where you have people who aren't emotionally connected to those titles that are like, these games are trash. Like, how can you guys find any value in this? Whereas the people who did grow up playing them or feel strongly connected to them think they're the best games ever. So, I think it's good to have that balance.
That's a good example, too, the Super Mario Adventure, because I've heard people just trash the game, but I love them. And yeah, we run into that a lot. Like, Kenny will have a really close connection to this NES game. What's that dragon game? Whatever that we didn't
Dragon
like.
Warrior.
Quest.
Dragon.
You guys didn't
game.
Like Dragon Warrior?
No, definitely
Dragon
did.
Warrior.
But Kenny,
I did not.
Nolan didn't. I did, and Kenny, I'm still disappointed with, because he loved it back in the day, and then he played it again as a part of this podcast and didn't like it as much. But still, it got our new game.
Yeah, a classic example of where nostalgia fails.
Yeah,
it's for sure one of my most memorable games, though. I spent a lot of time being really bad at that game as a kid.
It's a great game, but what I think what you said is true, Rabbit. Like, sometimes when we play these games that we played before, we were wearing these rose-colored glasses, so even if the game kind of sucks, we still give it a good rating just because of our connection to it. And we've allowed that to play a part for sure, because nostalgia we can't ignore it. And nostalgia does have a factor. Like, if it connected with us on like a deeper level when we were younger, then it did something right. And so we have to take that into account for sure.
Gameplay.
This was the first RPG for Mario. I'm assuming there's been, has there been RPGs?
There have been
this
a few.
It spawned the unofficial Mario RPG series, and in that realm is Paper Mario, which I'm sure you've heard of, which is very successful and super based off of this game. And then the Mario and Luigi series that is it started on the handhelds. It was a Game Boy Advance game and also very similar to Paper Mario.
Yeah. So with that, it's like your standard turn-based RPG. You move around quite freely in the world until you enter into a battle, and then the music changes and you begin to select what actions you want your team to perform. And you've got up to 3 playable characters in the battle, but you've got a rotating party cast list throughout the game, including even Bowser at one point becomes a playable character. And I feel like that was new. Like, he was always the villain until... there might have been other games before this, but this is the first one that I recognize where he actually joined your side to help defeat the enemy.
Right. That's a good point, because later in this Mario series and in the Mario world, like, yes, Bowser is the antagonist, but there are times where they kind of break down that, like, menacing demeanor that he has, and he's not good, but... I don't know. The game really did start some unique things in the Mario series.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think something else to point out about the gameplay, at least something that I appreciated about it as a huge RPG lover and a huge RPG fan, was that you could see the enemies on the screen. So you didn't always necessarily have to worry about getting into the tedium of dungeon crawling and fight after fight after fight, because you could, in a sense, avoid certain battles by just avoiding the minion on the screen or avoiding the enemy that's visible on the screen. So I kind of liked that, that it wasn't random.
Yeah. So you don't appreciate the standard RPG of random encounters?
Oh, I like it. But it was, I thought, refreshing to have an RPG where that's not necessarily the case, especially in a title like this, where maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. But I think the fighting system or the combat system, it is a little bit slow. So although I appreciate the random encounters in some games, I feel like it would have been too laborious in this one with how slowly paced some of the fights could be. It was nice to have the opportunity to avoid confrontations if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's such a good point. No, let's talk about the battles, because while they are like your standard RPGs, they differ in a few ways. One of the ways is that you select your first decision, your first action, just on buttons alone. So one button would always be attack, one button would always be power, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then from there, you could, one of the interesting things, I would like to know if you guys enjoyed it or if it became tedious, was that for every single attack, I believe, that you did and every single attack that was done to you, you could try to hit a button at the proper time and either do increased damage or effect, or when someone's attacking you, decreased damage or effect. Did you guys like that or dislike that?
Well, I personally loved it, because I think it makes the turn-based combat system much more interactive. And you see this sort of thing being employed in other games like The Legend of Dragoon or Legend of Legaia, where you can interact more in combat. Whereas, and don't get me wrong, like I love like Final Fantasy VII or some of these other more popular RPGs, but it gets a little old just selecting attack, defend, item, run away. And those are your options. You know what I mean? Maybe some magic here or there. I thought it was very nice of them to throw in a way for you to interact when you're actually in combat. I like it.
I like it too, and I think it's because I'm used to it because of Paper Mario. That's like a really big mechanic in Paper Mario, where if you like hit A as soon as you land on their head when you're doing the jump thing in Paper Mario, it will do an extra jump and more damage. So I did like that feature.
I thought it was appropriate to the game. It definitely kind of keeps a Mario feel. But I fall into the made things a little more tedious, one more thing to hit and try and time when you're already in the middle of, you know, going through these animations and whatnot. But because of the way Mario is and the way his character is, having that extra action and that extra timed action specifically gives it almost a little bit more of that sort of classic Mario platforming influence and feel. I felt like they did a really good job with that aspect in the open world as well. Not only being able to avoid monsters, but the way he could jump and move around in the 3D environment and find coin boxes. And they did a pretty good job of making Mario still feel, for the most part, like Mario.
Yeah, I think they did that. And they did that well with the feel behind the game. Like, the game doesn't take itself too seriously. And so that works well in the Mario universe. Like, there's tons of jokes, tons of even physical humor, if you can call it that. And it's not, like, it's not some dark and gritty crap you see in a lot of media today. Nintendo really just stuck with their standard Mario feel, so that anyone who has any connection to Mario could just turn this game on and feel right at home.
And I love that they didn't feel the need to get all serious and dark because they were branching out from their normal genre.
Right.
Like, that's why I've always respected Nintendo's, because they stick to their guns and it works.
Well, and in doing that, they still teach things. Like, you don't have to go dark to like bring realism. Like, in this game, and I mean, this might be going a little bit too deep, but like, I mean, they do touch on themes like of hope and of hopelessness and of strength and unity and working together, and that not everyone's evil. You know, like, even Bowser coming in, he's not like pure evil. He's multidimensional. And you know, they're not trying to necessarily, this isn't a teaching game that just, but in RPGs, I mean, they want to tell a story with that, and they were able to do that.
Right.
And then on top of that, one of your main characters is Mallow, guys, who's a cloud puff that thinks he's a frog. So I
isn't that ridiculous, that. But so yeah. cute at the same time.
He's no one so cute. Has just ever told him otherwise, so he just goes on believing that he's a frog.
I love that.
It's wonderful.
And they keep that theme going in Paper Mario with just the weird party members you get. Like Koopa Kid is one of your party members. And then, what's her name? Goombalina or Goombette. It's a girl, Goomba. She has like a bow on top of her head. And it's just, yeah, they're so weird, but it works.
It does work really nicely. And I think maybe part of the reason why some people haven't heard of this, in spite of the fact that it, from my understanding, has been pretty well acclaimed. It seems like it's gotten a lot of great reviews and people for the most part appreciate it and think it's well done. I wonder if for some people, the concept of Mario in an RPG, especially one where Square is involved, that's probably going to be kind of dark or it's going to be too serious. Because when you think about some of the titles that Square had done prior to this around the same time, they might have had jokes here or there, but they weren't very lighthearted, whereas this did turn out to be that way. So I suspect that maybe some of the reason why this is slightly obscure is because people weren't too sure what direction they were going to take this in regards to its tone and its mood. But I thought they did an excellent job making it lighthearted, and it was just very cheerful and fun and silly. And some of the little mini games that they threw in there I thought were very cute. Or
where's the Yoshi?
Yeah. And even just for me thinking about, this might sound so stupid, but I don't know if any of you guys did this. I believe it was in Marymore. If you slept at the inn and you didn't have enough money, I don't know if you'd call this a mini game, but you had to sort of act as a bellhop to pay your fare for sleeping.
See,
at the
that's
inn.
Awesome.
Like, that's so cute and funny. And like in most other RPGs, if you don't have the money, they basically disregard you and are like, okay, you can't stay here. But it lets you sleep there, and then you have to work to pay your way. So
I love that.
That's so cute.
That's really interesting. And guys, you don't know how hard this is for me to not just start talking to Rabbit about RPGs. Like, you can't just in passing say Final Fantasy VII and Legends of Dragoon and me not want to be like, all right, let's take the next 15 minutes of this podcast to talk about those games.
You have to control yourself.
Oh my gosh, I really have been. I haven't been stopping the flow of this conversation at all. So let's go ahead and move on into our section on aged.
Okay, so not growing up with the game and having heard about it later in life and its reputation along with it. So I didn't play the game and then realize, hey, this game is crazy and awesome. I heard about its reputation and almost in like a cult classic sort of lens. And so I'm interested what you guys think about that. Like, did that arise when it came out, or do you think over time it built up that reputation of being just off the wall but brilliant?
I really think that this was the thing, and at least a part of it. It was only, I think, only 3 months later when Super Mario 64 came out. And with that being so connected there, I think that's what pushed, at least in part, this game under the surface to where it wasn't a widespread popular hit. That and then the genre itself, Super Mario RPG, like, what's that all about? I think those two things pushed this under the surface and caused some people to latch onto it. You know, like those, like Rabbit and her siblings who got this game and who fell in love with it early on. Like, I think you've got that crew, and then they realized that it was a quality game. And since when there's such a quality game like that doesn't get the recognition, then I feel like it causes those people that did like it to just hold on even tighter to the game, which can turn it into a cult classic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think you're right about that. And I didn't realize that gap was so small between Super Mario 64 and the launch of the 64.
Absolutely.
So you're totally right.
Part
yeah.
Because
if we look at the reception of Super Mario RPG, they sold 1.47 million copies. Like,
that's not tons.
That's not
tons. I
mean,
a lot of games would like to sell that much, but
yeah,
compared to the other Mario games, like, that's nothing.
Sure, but I'm also taking in the fact that it's weird, and that people that are familiar with Mario or familiar with RPGs heard about this title and were like, no, but they still were able to break a million copies, which I think that's pretty impressive. But
it is impressive. But listen, Super Mario RPG is the 42nd best-selling Mario game of all time.
Oh my goodness! I mean, really, it's that low? Oh my
goodness. That is crazy to me.
That's not good.
I feel like I would feel surprised about any of those games you told me that aren't in the top 10. But
it was received well, though, like critically, like people recognized from the beginning this was a good game. Lots of times you'll hear about games that, like, at first they came out and people were like, what is this? And it took years for people to appreciate it. In fact, even Herzog's Vi fought that a little, completely different kind of game. But one of those that we played recently that when it came out, people were like, eh. And then over time, as people actually, like, really delved into the game, they realized there was some nuance and that it added a lot of valuable things. And so I don't think this is in that category, which tend to be more interesting stories to me. I think this one was always good, but because of the things, Dustin, you mentioned, and because of just the weirdness of it, wasn't, like, especially big. And just over time, people have gone back and realized, hey, this was probably worth taking a look at.
I think also Nintendo tried something new. Like, people were more familiar with the platformers. So to hear about Mario in an RPG, I mean, if you were familiar with a certain formula, do you really want to shell out the money to risk it with this? I mean, I feel like at the time when this came out, 96, information on games may not have been as accessible as it is now. Like, it might not have been as easy to, you know, pull up a video review on YouTube. You know, it didn't exist.
Exactly.
Or to see, you know, your friends playing it and then decide, okay, I'll go and buy a copy too. It just wasn't as accessible, that information. So it might have just been easier for people to pass if they weren't certain how the game was going to fare for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair. Basically, I think for me, it boils down to this, that I think the game aged quite well. The graphics pop, the color is vibrant, the soundtrack, it's typical Mario perfection. You know,
you
get that with that. Yeah. And what's wonderful, actually, is that we have a female guest to talk about this game with us, because the composer of Super Mario RPG is also a woman, and she is amazing, because not only does she do games like this, but she went on to compose Kingdom Hearts, Kingdom Hearts 2, and most recently even Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah. Like,
who is this person? I love
She's important.
That's awesome.
Yoko. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name, but go look her up, because she's produced some of the best soundtracks of all time.
And definitely sound was something that stood out to me as quality. But you're right. Being a Nintendo title is not a surprise, but this game is polished. Like, it's one you can pick up. Interface is all intuitive. All of the sort of classic mechanical things that might be a hindrance to some games aging, I felt like weren't there at all. This is definitely one that it's easy to pick up and play today from just a practical kind of standpoint.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's aged well for a variety of reasons that you guys have already pointed out. I think the music is absolutely wonderful. I'm a huge fan of Yoko. I think it's Shimomura's work, the composer. Mm-hmm. So the music is just phenomenal. I actually do have the original soundtrack for this, because
love
I'm
it.
So in love with the music in this game. The colors are just so vibrant and beautiful. I think the graphics look great. And usually when you see 3D rendered graphics for games from the mid to late 90s, they don't look so hot, right? Like, lot of us, I think, are more fans around this era of gaming of sort of like the pixelized look. But the 3D graphics look great in this. And I think something else that really stood out for me in this game, it really is the difficulty level. So the game is easy, I think, for someone to pick up who isn't familiar with RPGs or even familiar with Mario. So I was, goodness, like 7 when this came out. So I think an 8-year-old can pick it up and play it, and you can get through it without too much difficulty. But I also think with a lot of like the hidden secrets or the surprises or the things that you can choose to do, someone who is an RPG veteran can still enjoy themselves playing it. So in that sense, I think it has aged in a wonderful way, because it is so appealing to a variety of gamers. You can have a casual gamer that will enjoy this, and you can have a hardcore gamer that can enjoy this. So I think it really, it hit its mark.
Rabbit, you just changed my critique that I was going to give. You changed my mind, and it was about the battle system holding it back over the time that's been between since its release, being a little sluggish. But you're so right that it lends itself to being playable by anyone, and Nintendo's always been about that, even when the community looking at Melee wants more of a competitive thing from time to time. Nintendo's always been about just whoever wants to can play it, and that was intentional now that I think about it, how simple it is to go through the battle system, however slow it is.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it from an RPG now player's perspective, but yeah, you changed my mind. So yeah, I think it aged wonderfully. I love the colors, and the music is what stands out to me above all.
Before we move on to give our assessment, our final assessment of the game, did you guys have difficulty with this game, or did you think it was easy? For me, I felt like it was too easy, and I rarely say that, especially about these older games. And I know Mario, like, you want to have a little bit of a challenge, but you want to make it accessible for everyone. But for me, I felt with the leveling system and the way that was set up, that it was really just too easy to manipulate. And so for Mario, for example, I would always level him up in the power range, and then for some of my attackers and the physical, for some of my magic casters and the magic, and I could load those particular characters with particular upgrades, and it really just made this game a breeze. And a lot of RPGs I have to grind for an extended period of time so that I could be prepared for the next boss fight, but I really didn't feel like I was having to do that much at all. And I'm not opposed to not having grinding, but I just felt with the leveling system that was one of the things that did age somewhat poorly.
I think for me, I definitely agree with you that it is very easy, but I think it's easy in the same sense that modern Nintendo games are easy. So even looking at Color Splash, which is one of the most recent releases, I don't know if any of you have completed it yet, I'd say that game is hella easy. Like, it's very straightforward. There aren't too many secrets, aren't too many challenges. I think it can be effortlessly breezed through. And I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I would even say, like, the Mario Galaxy games are incredibly easy when you compare them to what you had with Mario Sunshine. So it is straightforward, and it is simple, but I don't think it's more so than what modern Mario games, like even 3D World, like, did anyone have a hard time minus maybe two or three stages? But overall, do you guys know what I'm saying?
And they even give you, like, if you die too much in that game, they give you like a star that makes you invincible.
Right, exactly. It's silly. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that criticism of it being very straightforward and simple, I think is just a Nintendo thing. Like, a lot of their games, in my opinion, have sort of that really childlike difficulty to it, where there's not a lot of challenge there, unless you sort of go above and beyond and do the extra secrets.
Yeah, so Dustin, I didn't have a trouble playing it this week, but I didn't get, like, super far in it because it is a long game. And I will say that I'm pretty sure later in the game, the difficulty ramps up, like, the curve goes pretty steep at one point. And again, I didn't get there that this week. So, you know, no is my answer this week. But yeah, it's just like, as an RPG player, I expect a little bit more of some resistance in progression, but in this one, it's just like go to the next area, do what you got to do. So yeah, I kind of understand what you're saying with that.
The final shell shock.
So it's that time of the episode where we either give or withhold our vote for New Game Plus status. Since Kenny's been so talkative this episode, I'll allow him to explain what that means for any of our new viewers.
So, NGP status is simply our sort of corporate joint overarching seal of approval, which means if a majority, two of the three of us, or in this case, two out of four of us, give the game a New Game Plus status, then it bears that mark in our records permanently. Simply saying to anyone looking to go play an old game today, this game is probably worth your time.
You can visit our Retro Master list, which is a compilation of the games that you suggested and the games that we've played, and you'll be able to see a notation on each of the games that we've played, either a plus sign, meaning that it did receive our vote, or a negative sign, a minus sign, which says that it did not get that vote. But for Super Mario RPG, subtitled Legend of the Seven Stars, do we give it our vote? How about we allow ladies first? Rabbit... do you give this game? I wonder if you do. I can't tell yet. Do you give this game your vote?
It's so hard to gauge. I would say absolutely. It is worth everyone's time to check out.
Okay. I even like how you said that. And I feel like that was very good. All right, Nolan.
Okay. I was just adding a little drama because it's pretty clear because I'm a Nintendo fanboy all the way. I'll never deny that. So you should definitely play this classic game. It is the, if you're looking at a development standpoint of the game, it is the collaboration of that decade. You need to check it out, Square and Nintendo.
Kenneth?
So there's a reason that I've been kind of quiet this episode.
Uh-oh.
Rabbit, don't
he
get
was
mad.
Scared.
Just
he
hold
was
on.
Scared
no,
to give
no,
his opinion.
I'm open. No, I want to hear it. Give it to me.
I was legitimately terrified just of like you guys not being happy with where I stood on this game.
No, we speak the truth
around here. Give it to
there
me.
There we go. Okay. So here's the thing. This is a good game. And I know by like every actual intellectual metric that it's probably one that people ought to be familiar with. That said, like the way a game like resonates with us is definitely part of what we have to take into account when we play it. And this one just fell in a really weird place for me. I love RPGs. I love Square. I love
not as much as me.
That's probably true, but I like the Mario stuff. I've spent days of my life, weeks of my life, probably as a kid playing, some of the classic Super Mario games. But to me, sticking them together just wasn't a great fit.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Like, it felt like if you had two good things, and you tried to combine them. Like, say you had Michael Phelps fall in love with J.K. Rowling. Okay?
Oh, no.
You don't expect a kid to come out that's able to actually write successful novels underwater. Like, it just doesn't, like, jive.
And there were moments,
I don't know. There were moments in this game where I felt like it did a good job, like, trying to be Mario, but then the RPG setting was a little awkward for me, just because, you know, of what I'm used to with Mario. And a number of other things, like the humor appeals to a lot of people. It kind of fell flat for me every time Mario communicated, but like without words and like jumped around and looked a fool. It kind of just grated on me. I don't know, the simplicity of it, you know, you could tell it was simplified to be something that was really appealing to a wide variety of people. But again, it just made the game feel a little flat and repetitive. Definitely, I can understand the good aspects of this game. There were some awesome ones. Overall, I think it's a good enough game. It probably deserves to be played, but I have enough confidence in you guys' opinions that not just to be contrary, but because it's where my heart
is. Be real. Give it to us raw.
I'm going to say this one doesn't get New Game Plus for me.
All right. Okay. So that's
right in the heart.
That's two yes and that's one no. Guys, when Kenny was describing, he said two, but we've always gone with majority, right? So I feel like we'd have to have three when we have a guest.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Golly.
Dustin wants a little more drama here.
Uh-oh.
No, I do want more drama here, but this is my problem. I should have interpreted your silence better because here's my problem, guys. I know there are two different games, but I can't help but compare and contrast Super Mario 64 being released just 3 months after Super Mario RPG. I know. Look, the different consoles, different genres. Mm-hmm. I get it. But still, one was a legendary masterpiece. And for me, it wasn't the RPG. I liked a lot of the game's qualities. But for me, surprisingly, because I love RPGs, I usually dog on Kenny for most of his opinions, but this one, there's part of me that agrees with him. I love mm-hmm. RPGs, but I didn't enjoy this game like I thought that I would. And I've always avoided this game, and I didn't know why. maybe because I didn't think Mario and RPG would mesh well. And I don't know if it did. I didn't have the most fun playing it this week, but I get why people like it. I don't hate it at all. And in playing it this week, I think I enjoyed it enough and it was interesting enough that I would say that other people need to play it. So with all that being said, I do give it my vote for New Game Plus status, and so it does collectively receive our approval.
Apprehensively, da-da-da. It seems. It's a hollow victory, it seems, for Super Mario RPG.
Before we finish up, I will say, for people that can identify with Kenny's opinion, because I can see that, I respect mm-hmm. Kenny's thoughts on the game, I would say play the newer Paper Mario games, because Nintendo kind of owned their own take on RPG later on in that series and made it more theirs. And mm-hmm. so yeah, I would say that it's a more safe assumption to dive into that series with Paper Mario.
Okay, I absolutely yeah. could. Part of the weirdness was literally the disjointedness of it feeling like a Square mm-hmm. game, but without like the heart of a Square game.
Yeah.
But it trying to have the heart of a Mario game, but then it couldn't because of the context. I don't know. It was just a tone thing for me, and I think later ones probably fix that for sure.
I wonder if you'd like the Mario and Luigi games on their handhelds. Have you tried any of those?
I haven't, but I would imagine just because Luigi's in it, I'd at least give it a shot.
I think you'd like Luigi. Those.
Yeah, I tend to be a big sidekick guy.
Try that out. Get back with us, Kenny, and let us know if that did it for you.
I gotta say, though, Mallow is just Kate Sith. Like, hate on me if you want.
No. Okay, I'll be fair and I'll say I don't think Mallow was that great of a character, but there was something very magical about Geno to the point where he's been requested for Smash so much that they released, like, what, a little me costume for him for, Smash 4. So I think, like, there really is something there to Super Mario RPG. It's just maybe it's not there for everyone. So if that's the case, I suspect those of you who do feel it's disjointed because of the whole Square Nintendo mishmash here, you guys might like the Mario and Luigi series because that's sort of their signature Mario RPG series now. I think the newer Paper Mario games are more action adventure. At least that's the vibe I got from Color Splash. But I don't know. That would be my recommendation to try the handheld RPGs, because I think they're very funny and quirky, and so they sort of have the spirit of Super Mario RPG, but it's without the weird subtone that's there with Square's influence.
Absolutely.
And with that, let us read a few of the commentaries that have come in this week from our loyal viewers. Nathan said, he tweeted us a few messages actually throughout the week. He said, I'm biased against games with unskippable cutscenes. Is it just me or are the ones in this week's game particularly hard? Call me picky, but I had trouble getting into this one. It just felt tedious and unfun. Do you guys recall cutscenes?
Yeah, they're kind of lengthy at times. But it doesn't bother me. I mean, it just comes with the package. Like, that's the genre.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never skip cutscenes first playthrough anyway, mm-hmm. so I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I prefer story-based games anyway as a big fan of RPGs, so that's never been something I've had an issue with. But I will say my husband didn't like this game because he did think it was kind of slow, too, and the cutscenes
And you're
were.
Still married?
I know. It's hard. Like, it's one of the things that we just don't talk about to preserve our marriage. Right.
Mike sent us a message. He said, I just picked this game up last night and have already fallen in love. It was a little hesitant to splash $75 on it due to the fact that I'm not really a big fan of RPGs per se, but I gave in and made the purchase. It didn't take long to figure out that I have a classic on my hands. I planned a short 45-minute session because it was past midnight when I started playing, and I just couldn't put the controller down and walk away. Finally, after 3 hours, I stopped playing and went to bed around 4 a.m. despite having to work at 9, and I don't regret Reddit. That's how you know a game is great.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. Appropriate response to a game.
A man after my heart. Yes.
Go slightly too hard and then no regrets.
And then we had one final email from Holden, and he said, I'm not quite sure how to exactly describe what I felt playing this game, but the lack of nostalgia clouded my judgment, I'm sure. It just wasn't very fun for me. I mean, you have your basic Mario story, the princess is captured, you save her, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't out of the normal. Well, you didn't play long enough, Holden. Once again, like other RPGs, I'm sure this game played its role in trying to connect the series to the RPG world, but there are just much better RPGs out there in this era. With that said, I still think this game should at least be attempted, especially by the fanatics of the Super Mario world.
That's fair. That's a balanced judgment. Sounds like he didn't get too far into it, though, because Peach joins your party fairly early in the story.
Right. And which I appreciate that the game started out like a basic Mario mm-hmm. game, but if you play about an hour in, probably you find out that things just completely shift.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, thank you guys for sending in your commentary this week. You can always do that by emailing us at ngppodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us, find us on Facebook or any other kind of social media site, and we'd be glad to include your thoughts in next week's episode. We've got a growing Retro Master list, and Kenny, you generally have a question for our guests.
I do.
When they join
Every
us.
Guest that's on the show, I like to have their thumbprints show up again at some point in our future by asking them if there's a game we ought to play that we haven't yet, something else that they've enjoyed playing in the past that they think is worth our time for them to suggest to add to our Retro Master list. So, Rabbit, any thoughts on something else that's a classic for you that you want to make sure we play at some point?
Oh, gosh. Let me pull up the list.
Yeah, or even, hey, even if there's a game that you've played as a part of your YouTube series that you thought was good, the only criteria is that it's 15 years old or older. Other than that, we'll play any game, any console, any genre.
Looking at your master list, I think, just to switch it up, I'm going to cast my vote for, how about Crash Bandicoot? That's a big classic, and yeah. It's not an RPG, so for those of you who aren't big fans, you won't have to have a back-to-back RPG chat session, but I think the Crash Bandicoot game is a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure that that's added to the list, and for now, we are going to randomly select and find out what game we will be playing for the next 7 days. Well, guys, this week, journey to your local pizza restaurant, step into the arcade, and start playing our 1978 release, Space Invaders, and then let us know what
Whoa.
You think about the game.
That's a pretty big one.
Old
this
school.
Is a classic.
It's old, too.
This is a classic.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, started in the arcades, and I think quickly made its way to the Atari 2600 and some of those early systems, but... goodness, I'm sure you can get it on your handheld device
so,
as well.
I was so worried when you said pizza parlor. I thought that they released a sequel to Yonoid that I didn't know about, and that Nolan was going to have to quit the podcast.
We try not to talk about that game. That and Jurassic Park. We act like it never happened.
Why not Jurassic Park?
Oh,
let me not get us into it.
Yeah, you just got to go back and listen to that episode at some point. It's just a terrible, terrible game.
I will do.
It was really rough. Rabbit, how can our viewers keep up with all that you're doing? What games are you playing right now on your channel? Where can they find you on social media, etc.?
Oh, so gosh, I am not a woman of simplicity. So all of my social media stuff is like has different tags and different names just to complicate and confuse you. But
nice.
You can find me on Facebook at it's facebook.com/gamingirstyle. So that's GAMINGIRSTYLE. And then at Twitter, I'm at CottontailGamer. And then probably the most important place where you can find me where I'm the most active is my YouTube channel. And I'm just Rabbit Plays Games. As you can see, RPG. It's in there. Rabbit Plays Games.
Clever.
You guys following me? You following me? Yeah. Okay.
Beautiful.
Yes. As you can see, I'm a little bit of a fanatic, but.
And you like RPGs.
Yeah, just a little teeny tiny bit. So on my channel, I am currently making my way through The Legend of Dragoon with my husband, who is playing it pseudo blind. I mean, he doesn't really remember anything. So it's a lot of fun. We're also playing Undertale, and I'm polishing off a walkthrough for Legend of Legaia, and I'm playing Grandia 2, the Anniversary Edition. On Steam as a blind playthrough. So I've got a variety of series going on right now.
Very fun.
It's a huge catalog.
Yeah, you sound very busy.
Oh, yes. It's busy.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much once again for joining us today. And viewers, thank you guys for listening to us today. As always, connect with us throughout the week, social media, Twitter, Facebook, at NGP Podcast. You can listen directly on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, any other podcast provider. A special thank you to our two producers, Bradley and now Zion, who are two of our biggest supporters who made this episode possible. And if you would like to find out more information about that, or if you would like to support us to continue creating more content and better content, you can visit us at patreon.com/NGP podcast. We look forward to playing Space Invaders with you this week. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And that's Rabbit. And this has been New Game Plus.